Okay, we also were in Durban this weekend. The surf wasn't good. I'm not talking about the waves, trying to surf didn't work, but hallelujah. There's also, we started a church plant there, and there's a small group in Pietermaritzburg, so we did a SOS training. And anybody from Pietermaritzburg? Yeah. Oh, there. Cool. That's great. And they're really on fire for the Lord. It was great to see wherever we're planting churches. And especially if you're a student, you're going away at the end of the year, or if you are leaving for holiday, please go on the websites, on the website, because there's lots of churches and places like George in PE, East London, Durban, lots of places like that where we have churches. So go and visit them over the holidays. Don't veg. Amen. Amen. Don't veg. Okay. We're going to read out of John chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. I think it's probably one of the most profound scriptures next to the other 3,000 in the Bible. They're all in that place. But in John chapter 5, was it quite a critical time for Jesus and the Jews, lots of them came against him, and they started to, something started to turn, but specifically because of some stuff that he mentioned. And he says, in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I love it when scripture says, very, most, very importantly. Okay, it's not just assuredly. Jesus used like most assuredly. Okay, so that means like you can't doubt about what he's going to say now, that what he's going to say now is very important. Okay, and where he gets his source from. So he says, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So there's this moment where the Pharisees and all the people, and especially the Jews, they come against him because they actually start to hate Jesus. They start to hate Jesus because of this revelation, firstly, of the Father. The fact that Jesus was, in their eyes, just a prophet, but the fact that he called God Father, and that this almighty, omniscient God, whose name you were not even allowed to say in full, they had such great fear and respect of this God, Jesus started to call him Father. And now he says these couple of things after this. He says, very important that the Son, referring to himself, obviously, can do nothing without the Father. He can do absolutely nothing. But what he sees the Father do. So firstly, coming from this place, he realizes who his source is, because he says, I'm actually nothing. I can do nothing. All these great things, all the stuff that's happening at the moment, I'm not the source. So if we want to experience God, and if we want to see God, and if we want to walk in revelation knowledge, if we want to walk in the prophetic, and especially the ability to speak God's word, speak God's will, and I'm going to speak a lot about tonight about revelation knowledge. Because do you know what? If the Bible is just natural knowledge to you, you will make a religion of it. If you just read the Bible out of the eyes of a natural man or out of scientific ways, you're going to find a lot of great things, but there's not going to be a revelation. You know, it's almost like when you stand in the morning and you realize you've overslept your first class, and you open up the curtains and you realize, oops, the sun has been shining a long time. You know? Okay, let's just wait for some conviction to come into the place, just some... Those 11 o'clock students, okay? Not 11 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock in the morning, you know? Where the spirit of duvet has come so heavily over you. But now you stand there and you open up the curtains, and then you suddenly realize like, whoa, the day is almost long gone, because I've just had the revelation that I overslept, yeah? But it's, and now some people are smiling very deeply, you know? And they're thinking like, yeah, I know that feeling. Preach it, pastor, preach it, you know? But anyway, So we cannot walk in a place with God unless there's revelation. A revealing means a revision, or to see a vision. And to walk in revelation knowledge, we know the scriptures in two parts, of the Logos, the written word, but then we know the Rhema word, which is God's revelation knowledge, God's Rhema word, his revelation word to us. And so at this moment, when everybody's coming against Jesus, and these people sought to kill him because of that, and because they looked in the natural. They killed Jesus because they only looked in the natural. They looked at all the facts and they looked at his CV and they realized, oh, this guy's not going to make it. The Romans are going to crush us because he's not so powerful as we think. And he's definitely not out of Bethlehem, you know. What on earth, this man? And so they try to box Jesus in according to a natural knowledge. And so knowledge will puff up and knowledge will kill you. And that's why many of us, because we grow up in an environment where we just seek after knowledge but not revelation and wisdom, we get into trouble. Because then it's we start to live a relationship with God based on rules and based on what is right and wrong and based on what should I do. And unfortunately, in our culture, there is so much that is holding us back because we almost have a list. We almost say like, hey, if I do it right, then I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to know God. If I do it wrong, panic button in heaven. Oh, everything falls apart, you know. And then we have like these set of rules that we live by. And a set of rules, if you want to get relationship through rules, you will not have relationship. It must come out of a place of revelation. If you don't know tonight that God loves you, then it doesn't matter how many times I say, he loves you, 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 he loves you. Doesn't matter how high I say it, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. You know, I always thought that God speak like this. like, I don't know. But you know, it's amazing how your perception and our culture determines how we respond to God, our perception. And so here Jesus is making this amazing statement. He's saying, look here, the Son can do nothing in himself. He can only do what he sees the Father do. Not the set of rules that the Father gives, but what he sees the Father do. So I can just imagine Jesus standing there and walking through life, and he's just like, he's in this place of knowing and seeing God's revelation and what God wants to do. And so that doesn't mean that the Father now, you know, puts on his socks and his shoes and then Jesus does the same, you know. It's not like that. It's in his heart. It's the ability to see his heart. It's the ability to walk in revelation knowledge. Say revelation knowledge. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. For whatever the Father does, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son. I love this. Jesus sort of makes a statement. He says, the Father loves the Son. So the first part of understanding revelation knowledge is very simply that the Father loves you. The first part of opening up the curtains of the ability to have a relationship and a freedom with him is very simply is this: he loves you. And it's unconditional. The most amazing thing about his love is that he does not love you more tomorrow if you become a better Christian. He does not love you more if you pray more or if you fast more tomorrow. But you know what? When you know his love, you will pray more tomorrow because you know who he is. And it comes from a place of revelation, not a place of religion or rules. That's the amazing thing. If you know that somebody is good, if you know that you can trust somebody, you know what? You're going to go. You're going to share your heart. You're going to open up. Why? Because you've had a revelation. You've walked. Something has been revealed to you. I remember my one of my children, I will not mention a name, but just guess, pick one of the three. But in any case, one day, she picked one of the two of the three. Early in the morning, it was probably about 5 o'clock. It was dark, middle of winter. She came running into the room, and we're fast asleep. Lying there, you're probably fast asleep. We're asleep, you know. We're lying there in cloud nine land. Yeah, and the next moment she just makes this statement. She says, wake up, the day started in my room. And I thought like, okay, how did the day start? No, because I woke up. And I had this moment, I thought like, yeah, that's just how kids work, yeah. Just when we wake up, then the day starts, yeah. And I've told you, when you have kids, you're going to have these moments when you just have this breath over you. Then it's one of them standing next to the bed, breathing. You can smell what they've eaten. The fact that he did not brush his teeth last night. Okay? I don't know why it's for boys so difficult to brush teeth. It's always a fight. It's always a fight. But when you get a revelation that there are chuchekis in your teeth and all these gremlins eating at your teeth in the middle of the night. If you have not brushed your teeth, then you know what you're going to say. Whoa, I need to brush my teeth, okay? So some of you are, again, that conviction coming. For those of you only brush your teeth once a week, I know. I see who you are, okay? Okay, so he says, very simply, at the bottom of this revelation, of this part of where God reveals himself to the Son, to Jesus himself, is by his love. And he shows him all things. And then he says he will show him greater things and greater works than these, that you may marvel. I love that. You know, we were there on the Durban beachfront with the church there. And we were just, there was, I don't know where they are right now. Oh, there you are. There's one of them. And Bips. Where's Bips? Is he here? I don't know. But he, we were sitting on the beachfront. We just had like lack of time of just talking and swimming and all of that stuff. And there's one guy walked up to us and walked up to them specifically. And because the one guy was just standing over the other one and looking at each other. And he thought that he was praying for him. And he's, and then he started just to open up his heart. He said, because by the love you have for each other, I knew that you were Christians. And I thought like, Lord, we're doing something right, you know. By the way that you interact with each other, the way there's something in your relationship, just by checking you out here, probably just 5 minutes, I saw something there. I marveled. By the love, by the relationship, by the revelation you walk in. And so that's what God wants. And you know, God wants to reveal himself to us. But we must know that there's certain stuff that binds us from seeing God. And one of the biggest one of them is culture. It's where we become a cultural Christian. And we start to box God in because we really think that God is white. Or that we think he's black. Or that we think he's pink. Or yellow. Or brown, neon, rainbow colors, or that is Afrikaans speaking or Zulu speaking, or but you know, we would so like God to be in our image. We would so like God to be like us, so then we can control him better. And when the moment when you are motivated by fear and control in your relationship with God, then you cannot walk in revelation knowledge, because fear will always produce a set of rules and a set of regulations. Now, if I'm talking about rules and regulations, I am not talking about discipline and having a disciplined life. Because I know immediately there's some people sitting here and thinking like, oh, yeah, I should have no rules. I don't need to read my Bible. I just need to like, you know. There's a big difference between seeking God diligently and walking in discipline and living by rules and performance and striving and trying to be somebody through what you do. But if you live a disciplined life, like Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, you know, without faith it is impossible to please God. Because when you come to God, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's going to reward those who diligently seek him. So you need to be disciplined. You need to study hard for the exams. Just wait for that conviction again. It's coming. It's coming. Okay. For those of you who don't know, it's happening this week. Huh? Some people coming. We're going to pray for you before the end of the service, because now I suddenly saw there's a yoke coming on some people again. But see, so I just want to make that clear. God wants us to live very disciplined lives, because that disciplined lives means you have to say no to a lot of things. Why? Because to be able to live in revelation, you must know that there are a lot of other things and culture and stuff that wants to put another revelation on you. So let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom. Now you need to really focus, because this is like, you know, you can get lost here somewhere. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he speaks about a mystery. He says, when we speak about wisdom, wisdom is to be able to apply knowledge rightly to a situation. But he says there's a mystery. It's not just cheap. It's not you can't just get it on a lucky packet. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear have heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for those who loved him. Again, those who loved him. But God has revealed, revelation, them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now it's a lot of words, and it's a massive, amazing chapter. But he comes and he says very simply, there's a spirit of the world that wants to dictate a certain revelation or bring certain knowledge. And then there's the Spirit of God that wants to bring a freedom. And he says, not even man himself, you don't know yourself until you've started to walk in the Spirit and you started to connect with the Holy Spirit. There's deep things. He talks about that deep revelation of God. It's not complicated. It's just deep. There's a big difference. Because some people want to make it very complicated. But you know, the gospel is very easy so that a four-year-old can understand it. You know, it's like those simple stuff that you can ask. Josh and I was driving in this somebody else's car. It's a very fast car. I don't own fast cars because I know it's not good for my health. Then I'll see Jesus quicker than what I'm supposed to. But in any case. So now we're driving, and this car, the speedometer is marked off to 240. So it's a fast car. So I'm sitting there. I'm enjoying at least this the quickest way from 0 to 120 that it can go. And then this little siren goes off. But so 120, we're driving, and he's got this frown on his face, and he says, but now why do you make cars? Why do people make cars if you can only drive 120? And I said to him, it's the male ego, son. You want to at least drive a car that feels like you can have the power to just rebel against the system. Okay, let's just wait for some conviction again. I just discerned there's some people here. But now, I had this moment in the car because he was thinking now, why do you make something that doesn't fit? You know, why doesn't it fit to the system? Why? And I said, no, it's actually Germans. It's Germans. I blame the Germans. Okay. And so I said, no, because there's these fast lanes in Germany and they drive very fast. And he was very silent. He says, I want to go to Germany. Because for kids, it's just the speed, you know. But I want us to focus here on verse 11. He says, well, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? See, you and I need to learn this, and this is what Paul fights in the whole book of Corinthians. The first book of Corinthians is called the book of correction. And he talks to these Christians and he says, look here, you need to grow up. He says, because you are carnal Christians. And the way that you relate to God is through your flesh. Your flesh means your body, the senses of your body, the cravings of your body, and then the cravings of your emotions. So you're trying to connect with God through your body and through your emotions and through your feelings and through your experiences. But he fights with them and he says, but you won't even know who you are unless you come to learn that you have got a spirit man. And the spirit man does not reside here. It resides here. And sometimes you walk into a place, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and your whole spirit will just say, no, don't go there. No, there's something wrong with that person. I remember when I was at school, I got saved when I was in grade 8. Praise God, I was also at school. Amen. But we had this amazing revival starting within about, I think it was 5 weeks, more than 240 kids got saved. And things started to happen, and God raised up leaders. And so it was myself and another guy that we had to run this thing. And so we started to pray. And do you know what? About 3 weeks into this revival, or no, it was a couple of weeks, and then 3 weeks, we now had to get small groups and people going, because the kids would come and they'd lie flat on the grass in front of the school, you know, just on their faces for 2 hours every night. Every night. Not because they needed to, not because somebody announced it, but because everybody saw God. Lives changed. And so 240 kids, we would run in the middle of the break and tackle people. And one would tackle the ball, one would tackle the guy, and then we would preach the gospel. And people would just get spirit-filled all over, you know. And then after a couple of weeks, suddenly this man pitched up there at our res and says, you know, he knows scripture, so he needs to come and help us. God sent him. So we thought like, wow, you know. But after the first night, and he taught out of the Bible like accurately, you know, just like that. I don't know what means, but you know, it was like, it was really good. But something inside of me, the discernment inside of me, in my spirit just made, had felt like something is wrong. So I called the one of the teachers after two or three sessions that this guy came, because he taught amazingly, and I just said to him, look here, there's something wrong. Please help me here, you know. And he sat in and he said, no, not really. Something is wrong. And then myself and this other friend, we started to pray. So we decided we're going to fast because we're not going to resist what God is saying. In the natural, everything looks right. But spiritually, my spirit is resisting what's happening here. And we started to pray. He said, God, if there's something wrong, then expose it in Jesus' name. 4 days later, this man was caught as a pedophile because that was his motivation with us in this boys' school. But God stopped it. Why? Because we learned to live according to the discernment, the abilities of our spirit. So we didn't live out of this, we lived out of this. And that's where the Holy Spirit, and this is what Paul is fighting with the Corinthians. So he says, stop living out of the flesh. Stop making your little decisions and then you invite God into it. He says, I want to give you meat, but I can only give you milk. He basically fights with them all the time and says, grow up, church. Stop the one moment when you feel good, then you worship God. And the next moment when you don't feel good, then no, God doesn't exist anymore. That's immaturity. Grow up. Hello. You'll have that when the parents that are here. I can't just one morning decide, oh, I don't like these kids anymore. You know? Out on the street, three of you, out. Out. I must confess, I wanted to do it many times. But a responsible person don't do that stuff. Why? Because I've made a choice. If you come close to those kids of mine, I will kill you and repent later. Raise you from the dead then. Yeah. You know, but I'm challenging us to walk away tonight from cultural Christianity. Because on this campus, there's a massive onslaught coming against Christians, and it's here. It's to conform. And everybody's saying, hey, how does Christianity really fit into this? Are we really tolerant? Are we really accepting? Are we really receive? Hogwash. You learn to live out of the Spirit and revelation. We're not reacting to fear or what other people say. We're reacting because we're responding to what we see the Father is doing. And we are not going to wait another generation. We're not going to let it pass by. We're not going to say, you know, there was a guy this weekend. I went to him. I said to him, do you know what? And he went through a lot of challenges with girlfriends and all of that stuff. And he just couldn't make up his mind. He was double-minded. And then he went out with this amazing girl. Beautiful. She loves God. She's just going for it. Jesus is number one in her life. And he was very involved in a lot of stuff, in church planting, all the stuff. And then eventually they broke up because just of double-mindedness and all of that stuff, you know. I walked up to him this weekend. I said to him, almost said his name. I said to him, Peter. No, his name is not Peter, don't worry. Peter, you need to get married before December next year because you have been double-minded in Jesus' name. And then he said, yes, I know. Because why, if you don't, many of us, we're culturally so afraid of the blessings around us. Can all the ladies say amen? You owe me for this, ladies. You owe me. You owe me big time, okay? But the thing that I'm trying to say is, in our relationships, do you know how how we struggle to engage just in normal relationships because we're afraid of intimacy. We're afraid of revelation. We're afraid that what if I stand there and somebody sees me for who I really am? But if that person loves Christ, I tell you, they're going to see you for who God created you to be. And then they're going to start to treat you that way and you're going to become that. So there's no fear in godly covenant relationships. There's no fear with God. And that's why Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you try to kill me right now. Do you know what? He loves me. And I only do what I see, what I see him do. I'm walking in revelation, in a vision of who God is. I'm visiting that. And this is what Paul fights. He says, stop living out of the flesh. Stop. Because God, through his Holy Spirit, has given us the ability to go beyond the natural stuff. Now listen to this. In Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23, that was just part of the introduction. So lock the doors. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Right, we're going to read it slowly because there's a lot of stuff in here. But it says, this is now Paul praying for the church in Ephesus. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And let me just stop here for a moment. Paul prays for these people, and there's a massive onslaught on this revelation knowledge that they walk in. And you can see the same with when he writes to the church in Philippi and especially in Galatians and stuff. Many of these people wanted to go back to circumcision of the Old Testament. They wanted to go back to a lot of stuff because they walked in revelation, and then suddenly they just stopped. They stopped living in their birthright. Say birthright. And so they settled for second best. And let me tell you, through the ages, this has happened to the church. You see, one group church after the other, God would really move in revelation and they would start to live in it. They'd start to live, and then suddenly they would form a lot of stuff to try and control what God is doing. But the church is always growing because why? The bride is perfecting herself. And so we are always being made ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So 20 years from now, we're probably going to laugh and think like, whoa, we couldn't believe we were there 20 years ago. If we don't say that, then there's trouble. And that doesn't mean there's a new thing every second day. It just means we are growing in revelation knowledge of who Christ is. Because Jesus is coming back to a glorious church, to a bride that has overcome. Can somebody say amen? Something that we see in Scripture, he's coming back to this. And this is what he prays. He says, I pray for you. I give thanks to you always, he says. And so to be able to walk in this revelation knowledge, you're going to need to give thanks and need to praise God. Because what happens when we praise God and when we worship God, for those of you who are not at the Convergence, that was a big theme. A part of the theme in Convergence was giving of thanks. Because the moment when you start to give thanks for even stuff that you can't see in the natural manifest, do you know what? You begin to cool down, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You begin to access the realm of revelation. You begin to walk in the fullness of God and say, God, I don't live by what I see around me. I live by faith. So when I drive through this campus every week, I say, thank you, God. I see people on every street corner worshiping you. In the mornings coming out, breaking bread. And Lord, I see that. I can just see people are going to worship you on this campus. This is going to be a Christian campus because this is the redemptive purpose of this campus. I don't care, Lord, even if it looks worse. Because it's always going to get a bit worse than when the truth manifests. Would you agree? You start to pray for something and then all hell breaks loose. You know? You pray for that girlfriend and then suddenly everything fails. Then you must know breakthrough is almost there. Amen. And girls, stop batting the guy so much, man. She was just like... They're trying their best. Okay. You know, because the amazing thing is, hey, the girls always say like, no, I'm not spiritually ready. I'm in love with Jesus. But how are you going to walk in revelation if you don't allow somebody to come close enough to you? He's not going to bite your ear off. Okay, that's the wrong thing to say, but you know. You know, he's not going to ask you to marry him immediately. That's just a coffee, yeah? But as you know, as believers, we should not be afraid to live in a place where we stop pretending. Because Jesus says, I can do nothing if I don't see the Father do it. We cannot live religiously, because religion lives by rules and regulations and pretense. In skynheiligheid is at the order of the day. People walk into the church on Sunday. How are you, brother? Blessed. Oh, I heard that your business is breaking down. Oh, it's blessed. I heard that you lost your wife. Blessed, brother. Did you hear what I said? You know, it's like, you know, it's like a, is this the same person? You know, what's happening here? But it's amazing how we can pretend. And if you want to live in revelation knowledge, you have to be real with God and you have to start to give thanks and praise. Because what happens when we lift God up and when we start to thank Him, then something in our hearts changes. We're not negative and critical and always know what we're against. Instead of saying, God, I exalt you over Stellenbosch. God, I exalt you over my family. God, I praise you. Our God is mighty to save. Our God is mighty to heal. Our God is mighty to deliver. And that's what Paul says. He says, when I pray for you, I give thanks all the time. That's most of my prayers. It just goes in thanks. Thanks. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in that church. Thank you, Lord, for these amazing people. Thank you, God. I just celebrate them. Thank you, God. Celebration, you know. It's like this lady that loses this coin in the New Testament that Jesus talks about. She comes, she finds the coin, she comes back, throws a party because she found the coin. The party costs more than the coin. It doesn't make economical sense. Hey, where's all the Burek people? No, you don't spend the coin when you have found the coin. You invest. But in the kingdom of God, it works differently. In the kingdom of God, the thing that unlocks the supernatural is the thanksgiving and the celebration. That's why the father, when the prodigal son comes back, the first thing that he does is he gives him a ring, he gives him a shoes, he gives him a robe, but then he says, there's a fatted calf in the house. Come into the house. But he didn't slaughter the fatted calf there. He said, you must come into the house because this is a family affair. The other son, I said last week, the other son never came back into the house. Although he was in the house all the time, he was never in the house. See, many people are in the house of God, but they're never in God's house. Why? Because they don't walk in revelation that they're sons. They don't walk in a revelation of the freedom of God, where you can walk into a life and you can begin to say, this is what God says. This is God's will. This is His life. This is why Paul prays. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, and I pray for them, that He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He says, I pray for you something, because there's something you're missing here. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may open up so that you can see, that you can walk in revelation knowledge, but so that you can know that there's a glorious thing happening right here amongst you. God has given an inheritance in the saints. God has given us a deposit, and that's why the name for the Holy Spirit is, one of the names is the word Arabon, which is down payment or engagement ring. God says, I'm engaged to you, I'm coming, there's a wedding day. And a sign of that wedding day is the Holy Spirit. There's the Arabon. The fact that I'm breaking you free from a system, you're betrothed to me, you're going to get married to me one day, but part of that is you've got a sign. You've got a seal. That's what the word for Arabon means. You've got a seal. A seal that you, I'm going to break you free from cultural bondage and just living in knowledge and trying to survive. Trying to be Mr. Bean through this life. You know? Coming to a place where you're free. And this is, he says, I'm praying for you, saints, because you don't know this. I'm praying that you begin to see this. And listen to this, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places? Now He goes on, He says, okay, I'm praying for you that you will walk in this revelation. I pray that you begin to discover, and I want to really say this to us, that there's a richness when we come together on a Sunday night like this that you cannot find when you just do quiet time in the week. And it disturbs me when people come to church once every 8 weeks and they think like they can access that riches. You know, when I got saved, I came to church every Sunday. And I love, I don't know if James is here, but you know, he's there in Mayuba when he was healed from the cancer in the week. He said to me, he doesn't miss church. Why? Because you understand your lifeline of the richness of something that happens spiritually. It's not just about your revelation, but it's a group of people that come in agreement. And that's why the most powerful thing that God uses to manifest His glory in the earth is the family, marriage, and the local church. And this is what He prays for. And He says, I pray that you will begin to understand this. And I'm gonna leave you with this, but this is, I want us just to stop for a moment and think about what He's praying now in verse 21. He says that you begin to see that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And that He put, that God put Jesus, all things under Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So He says, when you begin to realize that when we come together and we start to walk in revelation knowledge, we are not desperate. We start to walk in the place because we understand resurrection life. And I love this when Stephen, and God reminded me this past couple of weeks, when Stephen got stoned, he was standing there and there was a lot of stuff happening and the guys brought these big stones out. And then Stephen stands up. And he says the following. He says, I see Christ standing up at the right hand of the Father. The moment before He passes from death into eternal life, because Christians really can't die, the moment when He wants to go over, he sees Christ standing up. God opens up His spiritual eyes and he sees God. And I'm thinking like, well, just on the side, that's the only place in Scripture where you'll find Jesus standing up. All the other times he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But it's like Jesus stands up and he says, I'm receiving you because they cannot take life from you. When I receive you, even if they try to kill you in the body and they kill you in the body, they cannot take life. Why? Because I'm far above. I'm seated. I'm standing. I'm resurrected. And this is what begins to happen when you and I access this life of thanksgiving and we access this life of praise. We start to walk in a revelation knowledge, but not a revelation knowledge just with the little things of, oh, should I do this or should I do this? Is this the will of God or is this not the will of God? It's about the resurrected one. It's when you begin to see the similitude of God, when you begin to see who He is and how great He is, when you begin to access the kingdom of God, and you say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is already established in heaven. You begin to access a place in your life, and that's where God says that whoever and whatever is born of God has overcome this world. Then the power of fear is broken, and the power of death is broken, because why? You know you cannot die. You've seen who God is. And that is ultimately where revelation comes from. And that's what Paul fights for. It's about the rulership of Christ. The resurrection life of Christ. And even when Lazarus comes, Jesus weeps and all that stuff. Jesus stays 4 days, you know. And you know what amazing thing is? He just walks up and he says, Lazarus, come forth. When Peter wants to see Jesus, and he looks like, is this a ghost, whoever it is? And Jesus says, come. Because if he calls you to walk on water, you can walk on water. And see, then we begin to access a realm of faith. Why? Because we have seen. But too many of our even faith preaching comes from, just believe, psych yourself up. The more spiritual you feel, the more you're going to have faith. No, the more you're going to see. And the moment when God opens up that, then suddenly you begin to access that realm, and you begin to walk in the authority and the identity of Christ. And I believe he wants to set some of us free, because do you know what? The world and the spirit of the world is born and is manipulated and is controlled. The basic thing is it's about a comfort zone. It's about a complacency. It's about satisfying you. Why? Because it destroys revelation. That is why, and I'm saying it straight to you, pornography is such a killer. It kills all the revelation that you can walk in because you cannot see God. You will go into cycles of condemnation. Why? Because something happens in your imagination. It gets this distorted so that you cannot know and see the exceeding greatness of His power towards those who believe. That is why the devil, through the media, tries to distort our way of thinking of who God is. Because if you fill yourself with all the nonsense and you sit on Facebook all the day, who's controlling your mind and your spirit? You're actually becoming veiled. And then one of the other challenges is we come to church. And then there's a lot of rituals that veils babies and veils you in your culture because it's all designed to that one thing, for us to not be able to see. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's why that purity, that innocence, I spoke about it last week a little bit, you know, comes when you and I can stand in intimacy before Him and you're not afraid. You're not, should I first fix myself? Because why? That intimacy, into me I see, because into you I see. Because I can only see myself once I've seen who you are. And that's why people don't be silent. And we're trusting God that next year, we're going to worship on the streets. We're going to take worship to the places in the reses. And even if there are just three people, we're going to worship God. And we're going to say, God, lift the veils over this place. Lord, break the strongholds over this place. Because people have been veiled through rituals. In some of these reses and stuff, what's happening, all that. It's all designed for one thing, is to get you down. It's to get another spirit in you. And I want to encourage you, but I want to challenge you. Go to the mall. And all you do is don't go. Leave your wallet at home. Then you go and stand in the middle of the mall, and then you go and stand there and you close your eyes and you open your ears. And listen if it sounds like church. And then you look up at the ceilings and you look up the way that the mall is built. And then you know that it's built around a cathedral idea. And then you go to the gym. And you walk into the gym. And you stand. Close your eyes. It's always good to close your eyes in the gym, always. Do it just as a rule, not just for this exercise. And then you stand there. And you listen, you open up your eyes. Just for a moment. Don't judge. But just look at the spirit of the world. Then you go to the pub. And you go and stand there. And you go and look at whether those people are actually full of joy. Or is there something else controlling this world? That's what Paul is saying. There's a spirit in this world. And that's why you cannot compromise and you cannot be part of the world and part of revelation knowledge. Because if you're part of the world and you keep on compromising in this place, do you know what? You're going to start to walk in knowledge, but it's not going to be revelation knowledge. You're going to be frustrated in your relationship with God. You're going to not know the open heavens over your life. And then do you know what? In the end, you're going to get discouraged. And then you're going to blame God. And you're going to get offended with the church and with people around you. Why? Because it's never become revelation. And then you see all the people around you. They jump up and down. They go for it. And then, you know, but if you keep on pretending year after year, then some other time you're just going to think like, whoa, I'm going to let go. Because it actually looks to me as if the people in the world has got more fun than the people in the church. And sometimes they do, but it's because they are fueled by another spirit. And that's why God wants us as His children to live by revelation knowledge. I've seen it so many times. We walk up into Rwanda, I've told this story before, and this guy comes and he grabs the back of my jacket, and I've got that, like a bag on the back of my on my shoulders. I was just reminded this week, and I shared it with the people in Durban, and he's got this fire in his eyes, this guy, and he looks me straight in the eyes and says, "You're a pastor from Cape Town. The Lord woke me up this morning. I came a far way to get here. All I want to say to you is, church in Cape Town, wake up. Africa is waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. But you are fast asleep and there's a tsunami about to break that God wants to break, but will you be the generation that stands up and walks in that? He turned around, he ran away. I stood. I thought it was an angel. But the one thing convinced me that it was not an angel is the fact that the man sweated. And I thought that angels doesn't sweat. Well, I don't actually know. Maybe it was an angel. But that moment, standing in the Rwanda, in the darkest moment in the place, many of you have heard the testimonies of what happened after that. Rwanda today is the greatest miracle. Why? Because God gave us a word that that nation is going to change. God is going to change that nation. And we laid hands. These hands were on that president. Before he was president, his name is Paul Kagame. He made a recommitment to Jesus Christ in 1989 in a little room in the parliament buildings. Long before the constitution was written and long before those things started to happen. But why? Because it was revelation. Despite all the darkness, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Although deep darkness may cover the earth, the glory of the Lord will arise. There's a generation that God wants to set free, but that means we need to repent of living a cultural Christianity. That means we need to live free from trying to put God in a box. That's why we must come in tune with our spirits, and that's why you need to pray in the Spirit. That's why Paul later says, hey, I pray more in the Spirit than all of you together. Because God wants to release that revelation. But there are many of us that are blocked, and that's why even with unsaved people, how you pray for people that don't know God, Paul says this, you say, pray that the veils be lifted so that they can see God. And once they see His goodness, it's His goodness that leads them to repentance. Because if you come to unbelievers and you say, oh, you're such a sinner, you are so bad, you are so full of sin, stop smoking. It's not going to change anything. Because why? They've not seen God's goodness. Then we try to put the law on them and try to change them because they do bad stuff. But I tell you, Christian, sinners are going to do bad stuff. They are going to sleep around. They are going to use drugs. They are going to drink. Why? Because they've been controlled by a spirit, the spirit of the world. And we have that ability when we start to walk in revelation knowledge like we did there at the beach, then suddenly, wow, God begins to do stuff. I did a wedding yesterday. And as we're driving between the wedding ceremony and the reception, as we're driving to the ceremony, the Lord says to me, there's a guy that I know in that area, I must go and visit him. You can ask them. So in between the two, we just go quickly then, we go drive with this little Renault. Seven people in the Renault, and we're doing a 4x4 trip up, you know, up there. It was quite fun. Don't try it, okay? But it was great. So we go up there, and we sit there, and then this that I met in Ireland, he sits there, and he says, you know, and we just talk, and we drink some coffee. We just have like an half an hour. And right at the end, when we stand at the car, because he came to look at how we could fit into that little car, he stands there, and he looks at me, and he's just like, tears in his eyes and says, do you know what? We've been going through such tough times. But this morning, I prayed and said, God, I need you to send people that will come to my farm to pray on my farm that will encourage me and they'll speak your life over the situation that we're in. And here between us, just as we drive past, because really I didn't even think it was that area that we live. As we drove past into this road, you can ask Christian, wave at me if that's the truth. Thank you, I see that hand. Okay, we drove there and the Holy Spirit says, this is the place. Now I realize, wow, it's very close. But I'm trying to figure out, everything in the natural doesn't work. But my spirit says, you need to get there now, today. And so he says, wow, I pray that this morning. That God would send people, and here we come with our little Renault. Felt like Ghostbusters, you know, up, down. And we stop and we say, the kingdom of God has come. And see, that's why we need each other. That's why we need to walk in the love of God. I'm not going to mention all of these stuff again. You can just throw that on there. Some of the stuff we have spoken of is the Father's heart, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to deny the spirit of the world. We need to enter, and it's just a summary. We need to give thanksgiving, and then the key is the love of the saints. Living through the eyes of your spirit to see the rulership of Christ. And to know that it's only through family and only through the church that God would walk and bring his fullness. God has got no plan B. We sitting here tonight are his plan. And God will wait for another generation if you and I don't stand up and say, God, we're hungry for you. God, we're not satisfied with the cultural Christianity. We're not trying to be radical. We're not trying to run after miracles because in that sense it will vindicate us, Lord. But God, we know one thing. We don't see your resurrection. We don't see where you're seated. We don't see what Paul is praying, God, because we're so focused on just the now and our carnality and our comfort and the stuff and the spirit of the world, God. But Holy Spirit, you're breaking us free from this. And that's why, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see. Lord, we want to walk in that fullness. We want to know what the cross is about. We want to know the blood of Jesus. It's very simple, but yet it is so far for many people because we've got all these walls and we've got all these veils. But I've got good news. When Jesus hanged on the cross, that thick veil was torn from top to bottom. God intervened. God said, I've got a plan and this plan is going to work. Do you want to be part of this plan? Do you want to be part of that generation that would stand up and say, God, I'm not against knowledge and I'm not saying tonight, please study hard. Amen. I'm not talking about studies. I'm talking about scriptural knowledge and all of that stuff. We need to study even theology and all of that stuff, but it must come from a place of not a scientific evaluation of whether God is actually here or not here. It comes from a place of a revelation where you want to yield yourself to a living God. Like Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, wow, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Because blessed are you, Simon. Because in the natural, you can't walk in that place. But my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. And therefore, whatever you bind and whatever you loose, the gates of hate shall not prevail against it. Why? Because you're walking in revelation, Peter. And on this rock, on this revelation, I will build my church. And that's why Jesus says he will do it. Will you stand with me tonight? Because the challenge for us is very simple. The challenge is when you and I begin to allow that spirit of the world to creep into our hearts. And we allow the spirit of the world to dictate how our relationships should look like. What it should look like and how it should be. And then what we do is we work out this thing and then we sort of say, okay, God, maybe just, no, let's just paste the word covenant on there because then it's nice. But the basis of any covenant relationship and the basis of true love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's when you walk into a life and the spirit of prophecy comes over you. Like this morning in Durban, I walked up to this lady. I said, you know, lady, you've been holding walls for many years over God and been keeping God away. You're a master. You're a master at manipulating your circumstances. But that loneliness in your heart, oh, the Father knows. The Father knows that when it's Christmas again this year, it's the time of your life when you dread it the most to live. Every year. And then the tears begins to run down her eyes. She says, I'm so hard. This world has dealt me a pack of cards. And I haven't played it well. Where do I start? I said, there. With that tears. That's enough for God. That moment when you say to him, without the Father, I can do nothing. Because it's not about your goodness. It's not about having all your ducks in a row. It's not about competing with the one next to you. Because we want to sound more spiritual. You know, there's sometimes in the morning that I don't want to wake up. And I'm a pastor. There's sometimes when I also have a headache and I don't pray for the headache. I just drink a Panado. There's sometimes when I get tired. Not like the Japanese said to the Chinese, he was tired when the car drove by over his foot. Okay, that's a joke. Lame joke. Lame joke. But tired in a place where you emotionally are so drained. Emotionally by a place. I was about 8 years ago, I was at a place of burnout. And I remember one evening specific, I came home, didn't have Bible school the evening, and I was sitting, I went into the study and I sat there, and Louise didn't hear me come in, but I sat in the study, and for 3 hours, I just sat there. The trip switch went off. She thought I was at Bible school, but I just sat there because I emotionally came to a place. Why? Because I tried too hard. I tried to get my significance by the things that I do or by the places I go or by the miracles that I've seen. And so many people ask me, how do you do what you're doing? I say, I don't know. The grace of God, but I walk in revelation. Why? Because I see Jesus. He's standing at my finish line. I'm sorry for all of you. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at Him. I'm not looking at my wife. And I'm not looking at my children. I'm looking at Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He despised the shame. And He went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Resurrected. High and lifted up. Ruler, King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign I am, the one worthy to be worshipped, the one worthy to be lifted up, the one worthy to receive my praise and my thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying. Thank you for raising from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you for life. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you're not hanging on that cross anymore. Thank you that you're not that baby in a manger anymore. Thank you, Lord, that you cannot fit into my brain and I cannot figure you out with the word or even begin to describe how big, how huge, how humongous, how awesome. Lord, you are not limited to time or to space. Because you know my tomorrow. You know every fear I'm going to have tomorrow. You know, Lord, what's going to happen 30 years from now. You know, Lord, what's going to happen 50 years from now. Lord, you are not bound by this world that we live in that so many have become a slave to. You're resurrected. And Jesus, tonight you're in this place, high and lifted up. And I refuse, God, that every or any stone would begin to cry out. Because you said, if I'm silent, the stones will begin to worship. The stones will begin to cry out. The children will begin to say, Hosanna! Praise be to our God. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. High and lifted up. Because God, I've decided to become a worshiper. I've decided to enter into a realm of thanksgiving. Because God, you're bigger than my greatest fear. You are higher, God. You have conquered death itself. And tonight, Father, I pray that you will begin to break the veils and the fears of a people in this place. Because so many times, Lord, we are responding to the fears and the circumstances. Lord, and then we hear what's happening in our nation, God, and then we just become part of that, Lord. We just begin to speak negative things and we begin to, God, we don't even know that you've got a plan for our nation. Lord, we've started to not believe it anymore, God, because we're just against this and against that, Lord. And all you want us is to be on our knees to worship you, God. Because you said if my people would humble themselves, repent, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I will come in and heal their land. And Lord, there's some healing that needs to be done, Lord, a healing of our eyes. Because I know, Lord, lots of people are standing here and all they want to do is just overcome their studies. And that's great. That's where we can start. So that when we pick up those books, we know, Lord, that you're right there. We don't need to fear. When we walk on this campus, we don't need to be intimidated. because you're God with us. You're God over us. You're God above. And Lord, there's some people that have been in the past couple of weeks going through a lot of unbelief and challenges in their spirit man. And Lord, they've started to compromise again and walk back to stuff that they were not. They thought, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm free from that, Lord. But they've been tempted by the flesh and the spirit of the world just to withdraw. And Lord, we know the same happens for many of us over December. But Father, tonight, we ask that you would take our spirits and through your Holy Spirit, Lord, be a witness that we're children of God. If you're part of that group, you know that in your heart you're busy compromising. There were a lot of crossroads and you took the wrong turn because do you know what you've been doing? You've been opting to go for the flesh. And sometimes we do that because we are desperate. We're tired. We're discouraged. We sometimes want to give up. But the Lord's invitation is, would you come up higher? Would you come? I want to reveal myself so that the eyes of your understanding opens up. So there's two groups of people, those who've been compromising in certain areas, you know God is speaking to you. And then there's another group here, you've never seen Jesus. You've had a religious experience with Him. You've maybe even prayed a prayer. And you have invited Jesus into your life, but this is not about inviting Jesus into your life. He cannot fit into your life. He cannot fit into my life. This is about you surrendering your life to His glory and to His purposes. That's when we get saved. That's when we surrender. Is when we say, God, I'm nothing. And I want to start to live in the place where I only see what you do. And I only do what I see you do. And a saved life bears fruit of obedience and faith, not fear. Because we've seen the risen Lord. So if you're that group of people that have been living in a compromising lifestyle, and every time you just go back and you get controlled by that spirit of the world, every time you just fall back into that lust, every time you just fall back into that craving of that eating stuff. And you know, I've been there. I was a comfortable eater. Chocolate or sweets. Because it gives us a certain comfort. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit is going to say to you, hey, obey your spirit. By your spirit, choose now, choose now. I've got more. I want to give you a revelation. And that's those moments when you withdraw and you start to get into the scriptures and you say, God, everything inside of me wants to go that way, but God, Holy Spirit, draw me. Like a piece of iron to a massive magnet. It just goes like, draw me. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to come and stand on this side, or you're a backslider. And you really are trapped in religion. You've never been real with God concerning your sin, concerning where you're at. I want you to come this way. If you have been living a lifestyle of compromise, unholy living, and you think that you can get away with it, I tell you, you can't. You need to repent and you need to start to live to God, because it's not about the sin. It's about your revelation it's been stolen from you. It's about that place from where you live out of your spirit and not out of the flesh. That place where you stop being a carnal Christian and you know God is speaking to you. I want you to step out. I want you to come and stand here. I want you to come and sit before God and just say, stand, kneel, sit, whatever you want to. But we're not going to pray fancy prayers, because this is times of repentance. This is times when we say, God, every time when the exams come up, everything inside of me, the flesh, everything, Lord, I just block you out for weeks. When the holiday comes in, Lord, I just do that because in my nature, that's the way I respond. Some of you can stand on this side as well. If you are here and you need to commit your life to Jesus, I want you to come and stand in front on the red line. If you're living a compromising lifestyle, I want you to stand on the black line there. Some of you coming to the front, please stand on this side, because I don't think there's enough space on that side. If you're making a commitment to Jesus, I want you to stand in front right here. Come and stand here with me. If you're making a recommitment to Christ, or if you're backslider and you need to come back to God. And tonight I want to say, I really believe God is saying this to many of us standing here. God is not displeased with you because you're trying so hard. You are trying, there's some of you trying so hard to please God. And you know what? He's pleased with you. God will never reject you and He will never, but there's a place where He says, hey, why would you settle for second best? Why would you settle for a place of mediocrity where other people always determine what that revelation should look like? Where you even run from one great DVD and one great sermon to the other sermon, but it just seems like there's a block, there's wells that are blocked here tonight, and God wants to unblock those wells. There's a place where you can stand and say, wow, God, I thank you that I can be passionate. I don't need to be afraid. That even if they want to chop off my head, God, you know what? I can stand before you. I'll see the risen one. That's when life comes. That's when you know Jesus as the life, as the one, the meaning of life, the Zoe, the abundant life, the one that gives life. He will never reject you, lady. He will never. You're crying. But you know what? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And those times when you feel so lonely, He knows about all those times. Those times when you feel like, whoa, couldn't I just be somebody else? He knows about that. And then He stands there and then He breathes on you. And He puts His arms around you and He says, hey, devil, back off. Because He's bigger. Oh, He's God. We must stop making God not being God. Because He is God. All the doubt, all the thoughts, all the stuff, when we start to surrender that to Him, He comes to show us. He comes to reveal His life to us. And tonight, it's not a condemnation, it's an invitation. Tonight, it's a place where you and I can stand boldly before Him. Not based on our anything, but just based on our nothing and based on the everything of Christ. So tonight He brings us to that place where we have a freedom. Where we have a freedom to stand and be sons and not orphans or slaves. That place where we can worship Him and say, hey, Lord, I can actually give all of my heart to You. And we don't need to run up and down, try to find significance. Why are we here and why am I here? You've been praying that. God, why am I here? Why did You create me? And then some people said, you're useless. You know, those words does not come in the vocabulary of God. God does not condemn. God does not break down. And God does not motivate through fear. God does not bring shame. And then from that place of breaking you down, then He tries to build you up. That's what the cross is about. So Father, tonight I pray, and we pray that through Your Holy Spirit, You will lift the veils. Lift every veil, lift every wall. Break, Lord, that stuff, Lord, that makes us want to run back, Lord, to just be victims of our culture and victims of our past and victims of the stuff, Lord, that has come, victims of the words that people have spoken over us, victims, Lord, of the little dreams that we have. Lord, deliver us from this evil. Deliver us from the fear that the world brings, the fear of death and the fear of rejection and the fear of failure. The fear, God, every time when we want to get into the throne room of God, Lord, when it just seems like all the curtains close up. But tonight, Lord, the veil has been torn through the blood of Jesus and through the body of Jesus. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding to see. That from this moment on, we can start to walk in revelation of who You are. To see Your high and lifted up Jesus. I want us just to sing a song in the Spirit. If you are here tonight, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or you cannot be released to sing in tongues or to pray in tongues, I want you to come and step out and just come and stand here, right on this side. We're going to pray for you to be Spirit-full. Because that lifts the veil. That releases the freedom of God. Everybody here that would like to pray in tongues or be released in the gifts of God, and there's a blockage in your life, I want you to come out quickly. Here, I'm showing my hand. I want you to walk straight right to this place here because we're going to pray for you. It's there for everybody. This nonsense that people say, just some people. When I find scripture, I say everybody that was laid hands on started to speak in tongues and prophesy. Okay. Just stand a little bit more to that side because Loie's going to pray with you. Okay. I want some of the SOS people and teachers, some of the district leaders to go and help them pray quickly. We're going to now sing in the Spirit, and this is going to, your mind is going to want to sort of block everything. But this is the way God has called us to break through so that we can start to walk in His revelation. And then we're also going to, as we're going to finish with these people, we're going to pray and lay hands on people. We're going to anoint you with oil. There's some people that have really got a desire to live and move in the supernatural, but you have been subject to just a spirit of fear and intimidation. But God wants to start with the supernatural in your studies. He wants to start right where you are in your workplace. He wants to open up your eyes to see. And He wants to open up the spiritual world. So we're going to anoint people. Now remember, I need to tell this story quickly. There was one day when we were standing, I was having a conversation with this guy, and this guy was lying to me about a project that's happening in Johannesburg. And as I'm having this conversation, the Holy Spirit opens up my spiritual eyes, and I can see what's happening at that project on the building site. And he said there were 5 people, there were only 2 people there. After he finished his story, I said to him, "You're a liar, and you need to repent. Because you think that you can fool God." And he broke down and he said, "Yes, it's true. I've been lying and scheming and been stealing from the church." But see, when revelation knowledge comes, repentance follows. Because it's not forced. It's just somebody that's seen that God is greater than his manipulation or his control. Some of us need to let go of that control tonight. So we're going to sing in the Spirit, and then we're going to do thanksgiving.